Well, welcome to next podcast presentation of Ordinary Christians with Ron,
hello,
Derek, and Bob.
Hey.
So, because we're ordinary Christians, we want to talk about an extraordinary situation in the world that ordinary people like us are facing, and that is summarized in one word: vaccines. And there's a lot of buzz going on in the world because all around the entire world, this is news. The vaccine that is the answer for a potential answer for the answer to the COVID-19. So, Derek and Ron, let's just kind of open up just the conversation about how we got vaccines. Let's start talking about it. We want to think through this as reformed, ordinary Christians.
One of the things I love is that the story of how this vaccine was developed is really a story of perseverance and someone, enduring a lot of obstacles to make it possible. There was a researcher named Catalin Carrico who has worked on this for the last 30 years, and she was on tenure track to be a full professor. And she was really interested in the creating vaccines around this mRNA reality, which is different than, most vaccines are made from parts of the disease. And This is a totally new idea. And the scientific community completely ostracized her. She couldn't get grants. She was kind of the laughing stock of, infectious research. And she was demoted, and she was, kind of brought down the ladder and kind of humiliated among her peers. And during that time, she had a cancer scare, and it was just like horrible time in her life, middle of the 90s. And she almost quit. But she decided that she could do it, that she could make this thing work. And she gave her life to it. And what we have here is really because of a major breakthrough that she had that made it possible to use an mRNA vaccine so that the body would accept it, which was a huge problem before. And we are seeing the fruit of it. And it's just unbelievable. You think if she gave up, we would be dealing with this epidemic for the next several years because we'd have to do vaccines the way we always have.
Fascinating story.
It is.
Derek, when you hear this, what goes on your head in terms of what's behind all this?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I think
you're the only Derek in this conversation.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's great to be plugged in. I love talking to you guys, and I'm happy to talk about the vaccine. So I think there's a bunch of stuff that goes on in my mind. I mean, anytime something is shot into your arm, it's put into your body, there's something that's a little fearful about it. And so I understand that people are nervous about it. I mean, some of the statistics are that like something like 60% of people have stated that they don't have an intention to get the vaccine. And I think that I want to be clear. I really respect people that are on all sides of this. And I understand the fear. I understand the hesitation. I was helped by a couple of my friends who are experts sort of in this field, one medical doctor and one statistician. And I want to just read to you, if that's okay, some of what my friend who's a statistician said about all of this. And there were some things that were really helpful in this to me. So he said, so I want to answer a question that may be on people's minds. Is the Pfizer vaccine safe? I'm no medical doctor. I'm a statistician. So I'll leave aside questions of who should get it and when. But I will comment on the experimental design and the statistical results, which are really, really strong. Pfizer's study is more rigorous than anything done in experimental science in pretty much any field. Here's why. One, they enrolled a massive sample, 44,000 respondents, dwarfs normal clinical trials, which are usually only hundreds at the most. So many people enrolled that we can be really confident that this vaccine doesn't harm anybody. Two, the study was triple blinded. Most clinical studies are double blind, meaning that the patient receiving the drug and the person giving them the drug both don't know whether they're receiving the treatment or a placebo. In Pfizer's case, Pfizer also doesn't know who got their vaccine. That information was only available to an outside panel of people who are doctors and researchers, none of whom work for or have any relationship with Pfizer. This is a really amazing level of transparency and makes it very unlikely that Pfizer could cook the data to get any kind of results it wants. Three, the results match what they set out to do. Before Pfizer did the study, they put together what they called a protocol. This is a good step because they committed ahead of time to certain standards for how many people enroll and the number of people who had to contact COVID before they would terminate the study. Their protocol actually called for 22,000 people, so they over-enrolled by double. Four, the statistics are about as close as you can get to certain. I ran them all myself, and you can read it in my blog post. To cut to the chase, it's very likely that the Pfizer vaccine will have an efficacy between 90 and 99%. So what does that vaccine efficacy
we
mean?
Gotcha.
Suppose there were 10,000 people and half of them got the vaccine and half didn't. An efficacy of 90% means that the people in the vaccine group would be 9 times less likely to avoid COVID. An efficacy of 98% would mean that people are 50 times less likely to get COVID. These are huge numbers, and it's important to note that the current estimate is about 95%. Even if the current result changes with more COVID cases, we're pretty sure it's already at least 90%. Furthermore, that's the value for the whole study. It could be even higher for younger people. How good are those odds? Really good. All this to say, this study was really, really well done. We know more about the vaccine than we do about stopping COVID-19 with masks, social distancing, hand washing, or anything else. So I will feel fine getting a dose whenever it's available, and I hope you do too.
That's cool.
So just to be clear, this is a person who is, you know, I went to college with him. I was friends with him in college, friends with him now. He is a strong, grounded, Orthodox Christian, and also is a really gifted with statistics, and that's what his PhD is in. And so that was very helpful for me in thinking through this and recognizing some of what's going on. And I was especially encouraged by the triple blind nature of it and the fact that this is a way, way, way larger sample size than any clinical trial has been before this period of time. So,
yeah, let's talk a little bit about, I think what's going on in the world is there's a lot of people that are afraid of this outside agent that you talked about, Derek, and that, you know, coming in their bodies. There's a lot of false information. There's a lot of the scary people saying it's a conspiracy, you know, that there's some deep society that's trying to overtake the world through vaccines. So let me just tell you my thought. I have joked with people, even on the pulpit, that I would be first in line when it's available. I have no problem getting the vaccine, especially with the stats. The question is, who's behind the vaccine? This woman that Ron beautifully quoted, the statistics you gave, actually, I personally believe a God who loves the world is behind this, who gave people such brains and such technology and advancement that all the Bible says, all good and perfect gifts are from above. I see medicine as a gift. How is a person healed through of COVID or prevented from getting it? There's really two options. God has bring healing through modern medicine, science that he is behind, or he divinely heals people. We know that when Jesus walked this earth. And so the bottom line, I think it is an incredible God that gave us this possibility that this pandemic by May or June of next year could be gone. Ron, what goes on in your head theologically, biblically, for ordinary Christians?
Yeah, we are known for Christians since the Reformation is that we are grounded in knowledge and truth. And, you know, science as it's understood today is the fruit of Christianity and the Reformation. Knowledge and being grounded in what is true is the fruit of the Reformation. And so, you know, one of the things that we do as Christians is when we see something like this vaccine, we should honor knowledge. We should look at God's providence and using scientists and researchers, and we ought to put a lot of stock in that and not, you know, I'm reading, you know, I see people, the conspiracy theorists and Bill Gates and the chip and the New World Order and It's a little embarrassing that leaders would be a part of that. And because, you know, I have a lot of friends who are not Christians on Facebook, and that's who they think we're all like that. We're all bunkering down, you know, waiting for, you know, Microsoft to do its thing. And that's, you know, nothing like that is happening in our midst around this vaccine. And that's one thing I'm really thankful for President Trump for. This is really a shining light of his administration, is the development and the launch of this vaccine. They did a phenomenal job, and it will be one of the things that he's credited for saving the world. This is saving the world, years of suffering. And so I think there's real reason to trust it, real reason to take it, especially those who, you know, who are older or who are, you know, immune compromised. We need to make mm-hmm. sure that they know that it's something they can do and that will help them and others.
I think, Ron, this, and Derek, just when it, before I came in to record this with you guys, literally, I stopped by an office, said to someone, hi to somebody, and they said, hey, did you hear about so-and-so from our church? 35-year-old mother who's pregnant, who's in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. And the thought that this vaccine could prevent that by next June does nothing, but here's what it does to me. It makes me glorify God. And that's what I think Christians that understand the vaccine should be saying, is we glory in God that he would do this, his love behind this. Now, that being said, there are Christians, Bible-believing Christians, that are anti-vaccine. I will respect you, but I would challenge you to wrestle with, whose voice are you listening to? The gift of science and medicine, or the gift of this thing called the internet, where you're getting a lot of information? And I wanted you to really wrestle hard with whether or not this is from the Lord, or this is potentially, because the father of lies is the enemy, Satan himself. And I don't want Christians falling into a lie saying, oh, this is Satan. Oh, this is a world order. This is a chip. This is, you know, that stuff is dangerous. Have I misspoken, yeah. Guys?
You know, one thing I think that would be really reasonable is that the vaccine right now is being issued through an emergency authorization. And what it will do over the next couple of months is increase the pool of those who've taken the vaccine, and it will make the data even stronger for a general use authorization. And so if you do have, you know, any kind of tentative feelings about the vaccine, then, you know, I think that's a really rational thing to say, you know what, I'm going to wait, you know, unless you are, you know, elderly or immune compromised, and say, I'm going to wait till, you know, April or May, until they'll take all of these, it's going to be hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people, they will have all of that data plus long-term data of the people who have already taken it. And that will allow for, you know, the regular authorization. And then you can, you know, then there is no doubt about the, you know, efficacy and the safety of the vaccine. I think someone could say that, and I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think that's what I would challenge people to do if they had problems with it.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of wisdom there, Ron. I also think that there's a theological point to be made here that's broader than just the vaccine, but relates to the vaccine. And that is that we're all Reformed Christians who are a part of this. But one of the things that Christians more broadly believe, and Reformed Christians believe this and stress it, is that God is the one that works, but God works through means. So God works through, like, secondary causes. What this means is that if God is to save someone and bring them from unbelief to trust in the Lord Jesus and following after him, it's God who saves from the very beginning to the very end. But God uses the means of the preaching of the gospel, of the sharing of the gospel. And so God is the one who saves. If you are praying for your friend, you share the gospel with your friend, you bring your friend to church, they hear the gospel in church and they hear it from you and they see the way that you live their life, the way that you live your life. Then they trust in Jesus and they are baptized and they become a part of a congregation. God is the one who has saved them from the very beginning to the very end. but he's used the means of the preaching that happens in your church. He's used the means of the way that you live. He's used the means of you sharing the gospel with them. And the same thing happens in the medical arena. So God can save miraculously. God can do an act and remove cancer. God could do an act and stop bleeding and heal people that it seems as though there's no medical hope left for them. But if God heals through the use of antibiotics or vaccines, this is still God healing. He's just using the means of this particular treatment. And so a person is not failing to trust God if they take the vaccine or if they take medicine to deal with different illnesses. They're recognizing that God is sovereign in this, and it's an act of faith to say God makes use of means to protect and heal people. And so as I take this vaccine, I'm announcing that I trust that God works in the way that he tells us in his word that he will work. And I believe that he will save and protect through these means that he has made possible and that he makes use of. And so I think that's important, an important theological point to make.
It's the providence of God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this, well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for giving it a good shot. That's a pun.
Bob, you are the best pun master I've ever met in my life.
Bob, I think the last 2 minutes should just be you making puns.
I will hold off. I have others, yes, but please, I will hold them off for the honor of God. No, I think what I'd like to do, if you guys are comfortable, I want to bless people, and then I want to close in prayer, because we don't always end with prayer, but this vaccine and this COVID is serious stuff, and we want to pray that as well. But I want to bless those who get vaccinated.
Amen.
I want to bless those who choose not to, but be thinking about that. And I want to bless God, because he is the author behind all good and perfect gifts. Mm-hmm. And so if you're comfortable, guys, I'll close in prayer.
That'd be great.
Father, we live in a broken world. There's troubles, that famous verse that we love, you know, in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart. Jesus, you have overcome the world. Lord, we're in a global pandemic. And Lord, people are giving tremendous joy and some fear in this vaccine. There were brilliant minds, tremendous amount of resource, tremendous amount of intellect and technology gone into this vaccine. And we pray, Lord, that it will be a tool to rapidly bring this pandemic to a close, and that lives will be spared and fears will be alleviated. Lord, we know that you are the author behind all good and perfect gifts. The chief gift of all is Jesus Christ, the healer of our sin. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for ordinary Christians like us who can wrestle with biblically and theologically, even things like vaccines. I ask your blessing on the audience that listens to this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Until next time, Derek, Bob, Ron, see you later.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Peace.